Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. That's where we'll find our text tonight. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's read the first six verses here together. We'll take one verse out of these. Most all of us know who wrote these. Solomon, son of David. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And this is why he says he wrote these. To know wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtlety or wisdom to craftiness to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 5 here, the first five words of verse 5 is our text and the title of this message. A wise man will hear. A wise man will hear. Now, it is my desire through the study of these verses, through this study tonight, to show you that true wisdom is not found in the knowledge of facts, in philosophy, in the principles of science, medicine, or anything that has to do with any earthly thing. But wisdom, true wisdom that comes from above, is found in a person. True wisdom is found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are only wise who seek to study and know Him, who is wisdom, and to win Christ and be found in Him, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. Let me ask you a question and answer it. Who is a wise man? And how is he made wise? Who is a wise man? Well, according to our text here in verse 5, a wise being wise has something to do with the hearing, doesn't it? Wisdom seems to be directly related to and comes by the hearing. Look over at Proverbs chapter 8 with me. This thing of hearing imparts wisdom to a man, to a woman. Wisdom. Proverbs 8, look at verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Look across the page at chapter 9, verse 9. If you'll give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. A wise man will hear, or a wise woman will hear. So this thing of wisdom has something to do with hearing or heeding something or someone. It has something to do with a hearing, but not just hearing anything and not just hearing anyone. You can get mighty fouled up and confused by listening to a multitude of voices, can't you? True wisdom comes from hearing and believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing His words.
Look at verse 34 again, chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, Christ said. That heareth me. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7. Blessed is the man who heareth me, that heareth me, that hears my words, Christ's words. Now there is wisdom. There is wisdom which God calls foolishness. We saw that last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The wisdom of this world, the Scriptures calls foolishness. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world, he said. That is, or the wisdom of this world, which is sensual. The wisdom of this world, which is foolishness, is a lifetime given to accumulating knowledge and facts of things of this world. And it's the giving of oneself to the things of this world in order to be healthy, wealthy, and wise in the things of this world, or powerful, or happy, or accumulating things. That's the wisdom. That's who the world would call wise, wouldn't it? The man who has a lot of things, a lot of toys. The man who has a lot of earthly wisdom. But the Scripture says, that's foolishness. The Scriptures say, oh, that they were wise and would consider their latter end. Oh, that is death. Because we're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And the so-called wise men and women of this world don't seem to give it a second thought, do they? Much less a first. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the Scripture says, judgment. And as old-fashioned as that sounds, and as hated as it sounds, as it is, that's what this book says, doesn't it? Judgment. The word judgment means an accounting, a summary, a reckoning, a day of reckoning, a tribunal, or that is a judgment seat before whom we'll all stand, or before which we'll all stand. And it says, the same Scripture says, some will be judged worthy of life, but others will be judged worthy of death. Seems like it would behoove a man, a woman, a young person to look into these things, then, to consider this. Well, look at Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, acteth upon them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Who said that? Who's talking here? This is the Lord God of heaven. This isn't Aristotle. This isn't Plato. This isn't Confucius. This isn't Buddha. This is the Lord God from heaven. God himself. God in human flesh. Emmanuel is his name. God with us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's the one whom the Scriptures say that God will judge the earth someday in righteousness by that man whom God hath ordained. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, is the standard of acceptance. Jesus Christ is the one by whom God will judge all men whether or not he approves of them or not, whether or not they have life or whether or not he gives them death. He's the judge. He's the standard. He's the only man approved of God. The only one. The only one of whom it was ever said that God approved of him. The only one. The one whom we must be like in order for this holy God to accept us into his presence. The only one whom we must be like in order for God to have fellowship with us. In order to know God. In order to be known by God. In order to love God. In order to be loved by God. In order to speak to God. In order to be spoken to by God. We've got to know this person. and be found in Him. Believe in Him. Jesus Christ, the righteous man. So Christ says this, if you're wise, you'll hear me. If you're wise, you'll hear me and you'll act upon what I say. You'll do my sayings. Okay, what did he say? That's my next question. Who is a wise man? What makes for a wise man? It's the one who hears the sayings of Jesus Christ and does them. Well, next question that naturally follows. What did he say then? What did he say that I might hear him? Well, you could spend a millennium. We could spend the next 1,000 years studying all that he said. And the scripture says if all was recorded of what he did and said, the world couldn't hold the volumes of books. But I'll give you a few here. Let's look over at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Here's the first, or one of the first things that we need to consider that Christ said. There was a man, a noted and learned Jewish scholar, who approached Christ one night under cover of darkness, little wimp. And he wanted to discuss philosophy or religion or theology with Christ, or ask him questions, or at least tell him his answers. But he came under cover of darkness to talk with this rabbi, this teacher. And here's what he said. There was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And furthermore, and Jesus stopped him right there. He interrupted him. Christ said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now this man hadn't asked him a thing, had he? He hadn't asked him anything. He wanted to come, wanted to talk to him, have a little discussion, you know, a little philosophy debate or whatever, you know. And Christ said, of a truth, I say unto you, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus probably went silent for a few minutes. Except the man be born from above. And he said it down in verse 5. He said, Verily, verily, except a man be born of water and of spirit. That is, except a man be born the first time physically, but the second time spiritually, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And old Nicodemus didn't understand the word he was saying that. And what is he saying here? What is Christ saying? He says, this is a wise man. He that hears my sayings and acts upon them. He that hears, that takes heed to what I say and believes. What is he talking about here? He's talking about the new birth. What is that? What's the new birth? Well, it's not a how-to, is it? He didn't say a man must learn how to be born again, did he? Did he? He didn't say, verily, verily, I say unto you, a man must get born again, in the language of poor Baptist, get born. No, he said a man must be born again. You must be born again. Be born. It's the difference between what folks are calling getting born and being born. Now, this naturally follows that what he's saying here. Romans 5:12 and Ephesians 2:1, we know where. Scriptures that talk about man being dead, being born in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. That is, dead to God. Not physically dead, although he is dying. The minute we're born, we're dying. But he's dead spiritually. For that is, he's spiritually insensible, like a dead man. Insensible, unfeeling. No desire toward the things of God. But he's rather full of sin, full of corruption, full of iniquity, full of hatred, lies, bitterness, clamoring, evil speaking, all manner of sinfulness and wickedness, the scripture says. And the world and all that are in it is like a cesspool of iniquity. That's what Isaiah said in chapter 1 concerning man, didn't he? He said, from the sole of his feet to the top of his head, there's no soundness in him. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The heart and the life of mankind is like the earth before God moved upon it. It's without form and it's void, right? And it must be created in the same way that God created the first heavens and earth, right? By the word of his power. God spoke and the world lives, right? He created it anew. And life, spiritual life, must be given from above. Just as God spoke, turn over to John chapter 5 with me. John chapter 5. Just as God spoke and created all things by the word of his power, that's Christ, who is the power of God, who is the word of God. Christ, God, through the gospel, must speak to the heart of a dead man and give new life, real life, spiritual life. Here's something else Christ said. Now, you must be born from above. In other words, God must speak and say, let there be life in a dead sinner. And here's something else Christ said here in verse 21 of chapter 5. As the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Son is the judge. We quoted that scripture a while ago. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And Christ said, now you'd be wise if you'd hear what I have to say. And why is that? He says, I'm the judge. One day you're going to be standing before me. And I'm not going to be a man like you see me now. Right? I'm going to look altogether different. Unless you have changed eyes, unless you've been born from above, you're not even going to be able to look on me. So he said, a wise man would hear what I'm about to say. The Father committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son. Verse 23. Now, these Russellites, they'd better get in line here, hadn't they? They're so-called Jehovah Witnesses, Russellites. They best be getting in line, hadn't they? They best be hearing what the Son had to say, hadn't they? Didn't he say he's the judge, didn't he? Not the Father. He's the judge. And all men ought to honor the Son even as they honor the Father. You don't worship Jehovah outside of Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah, God our Savior. And all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son doesn't honor the Father. God won't hear you, will he? You're not Jehovah's Witness unless you witness Christ. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is Jehovah's Witness. And what is he witness of? Christ. He's the greatest witness of all. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father. Now look on here, verse 24. Now he says this again, verily, verily. Now listen up. He says, I've got something to say here and I'm emphasizing it. Of a truth, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, I'm the sent one, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life by hearing. Verily, verily, he said it again, of a truth, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall what? Live. Sounds pretty important that we hear his voice, doesn't it? Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? Have you? Now, it doesn't come in a dream or a vision like these charlatans and these hucksters are saying, you know, God spoke to me last night, sola ma bande bla bande. God spoke to me. That comes from indigestion mostly. These dreams and visions that they have. The scripture says, here's what God says about how he speaks. I'm interested in that, aren't you? What God said? God, who at sundry times, or that is other times, and in diverse manners, or different manners, spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. That is the Old Testament, right? And hath in these last days, that's the days we're living in, spoken unto us in Son. That's how it's translated. Has spoken unto us in Son language. He'll not speak to, nor be spoken to by anyone except in Christ. Son language. Job said it. Elihu said it over in the book of Job. He was reproving the old man who should have had some wisdom. And he said this in verse 14, Job 33. He said, God speaketh once. God speaketh once. Just like God said in Hebrews 1. Through the prophets. Through the law and the prophets and the Psalms. God spoke once. Yea, twice. God even came down here and spoke in the person of Christ. He said, I am. Hear me. God said it even. Here he is. Hear him. And Elihu went on to say, but men perceiveth it not. They didn't hear it. And he said even here in verse 39, look at verse 39, he said, even though they're searching the Scripture, even though they're real religious, even though a man thinks to be wise and searches with all his might, can he understand? No. He searches the Scriptures because in them he thinks he knows how to live, how to get to God. But he's all mistaken because they are they which testify of me. They are they which testify of me. Unless a man understands Christ, unless a man sees the Word in the Word, he doesn't understand the Word. They are they which testify of me, Christ said. And so does everything in this universe testifies of Christ. It all bears witness of the one who has come. The one who has come. The Scripture says there, the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him. That is true. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That we may know Him, the Son of God has come and given some people an understanding that they may know Him that is true. Pilate said, what is truth? He was looking at it. Him that is true, and we are in Him, that we may know we're in Him. Can you know? Yeah, you can know. That's what he's saying here. That we are in Him, or that is, we live and move and have our very being in Him. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, this is the true God and eternal life, that they might know Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 23. Look at this. John 8. Christ said something else here. He said, now a wise man will hear what I say. All judgment, you must be born again. But you're dead, and a man can't be born, can't receive anything except to be given to him from above. He said, I'm come from the Father, I'm sent from the Father, that they might have life. I'm the judge. Verse 23, and he said unto them, you are from beneath. Man needs to hear that, doesn't he? He's lowly, he's nothing. He's of his father, the devil, by nature. He said, you're from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. I am not of this world. In other words, I'm not just a man here. Don't look. Do you judge things after the outward appearance? You better judge righteous judgment, Christ said. Spiritual judgment. I said therefore unto you, verse 24, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. So what's he saying that a wise man needs to hear? I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none else. Declaring the end from the beginning. The things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my good pleasure. I'm God. That's who.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Good. Do you believe that He's God? You ever thought about this? The difference between the Son of God and being God? Christ is called the Son of God because He's His only begotten, that holy thing. A child is born, a son is given, a body that Thou hast prepared me, a son. His offspring, the offspring, the well-beloved, the only begotten Son of God. When He's in heaven, He's God. When He's on earth, He's the Son of God. He's God-man. When He's in heaven, He's God. He's the only God there is. You understand the difference? God's always got to be in heaven, right? God is in heaven. We're on earth, right? God's on His throne. He always got to stay on the throne, ruling, reigning, right? But the Son of God came. But when the Son of God goes back, they join their nature. He's God. Does that make sense to you? He's called the Son of God. There's no discrepancy. There's no difference there. The Son, because He took a body, took a form, a man, while He walked this earth. But in heaven, we don't see three persons of a Godhead. We see one. Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is God. You don't. I talked to a so-called Jehovah Witness one time, and we were talking about this. Talking about the difference between the Son of God and God. He said, I believe He's the Son of God. I don't believe He's God. Well, you can't believe that. According to John 8:24, can you? Christ said four times, here I am, in this chapter. If you do believe that He's God, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. Blessed are you. Blessed are... What's your daddy's name, Terry? John? Blessed are you, Terry Barjohn. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Can a man by searching find out God? Can a man find that out? No, it's confusing to him. Son of God, God... It's confusing. He can't, by searching, find it. Yeah? A man can receive nothing except be given him, except it be revealed to him from above, except he be chosen, called, except God let him in on this mystery, right? You can't figure out God. Nobody can figure out God unless God decides to let them in on this mystery, which has been kept hid before the foundation of the world. And they have to be given. God calls upon us, and God has to give us spiritual ears to hear His voice. Right? To hear the voice of the Son of God, which the Scriptures calls the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Turn over with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The Good Shepherd. It's a revelation. No man can figure this thing out of himself. God must reveal it to him. God must elect a man. God must choose a man. God must call. God must raise from the dead. God must give ears to hear. God must give life where there is none. But somebody said, what about man's free? Goat's butt. Right? Sheep don't butt. He must be a goat. A man must be a goat when he says butt. Whenever I hear a man say butt to the Scriptures, he must be a goat. Goat's butt, sheep don't butt. Sheep follow. Sheep, he said, sheep hear my voice. And they don't just hear it, they delight in it. And they don't just delight in it, they follow him. That they might have life, that they might have food, that they might have protection. You see, Christ is the Good Shepherd. Now, the Lord will help us here. This will be a blessing to you, this illustration. Christ is the Good Shepherd, and all of God's people are called sheep. Now, if you don't like to be referred to as a dumb old sheep, then so be it. But I do. I do. They say sheep are dumb animals. I'd say it's the opposite. Goats are the dumb ones. Sheep follow the shepherd.
That's pretty wise, if you ask me. That all the wisdom, all the strength, all the protection, all the food is where the shepherd is. Now here's a field. Over here is a field full of wild goats. Any of you ever had any goats? Or a goat? Barry, y'all had a goat. What a goat. They said that's the best pet they ever had. But here's a field full of wild goats. And I've had some dealings with some goats. Now, the shepherd, the farmer, the great landowner, owns the goats as well as sheep. Here's a field full of wild goats over here. And he's turned them loose. That's what you do with goats, generally. You turn them loose. You want them to just keep the grass down. You really don't have much use for them. Just keep the weeds down. Eat those weeds out there, goats. Keep this world in subjection or subdue it. But over here he's got some sheep, his beloved sheep. He delights in them, calls them all by name. He's going to use them, going to shear them, going to use their wool, going to get fruit from them. But over here are these goats, you see, in this field. West Virginia for a while, one of the members up there had a farm, a pretty big farm, and he had some goats, some wild goats. And one Sunday afternoon after I got through preaching, he said, "I got a pair of coveralls here I want you to put on. I need your help." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, if you come on with me, I put these coveralls on." He said, "I got some goats and they've gotten loose. We're going to have to chase these goats down." And we spent about 2 or 3 hours chasing goats. And goats are the most stubborn. You can't call a goat. He won't come to you. He just won't come to you. And the shepherd goes out and he begins calling the goats, making all sorts of overtures to goats. "Come here, goat." Goat won't come. You ever had one? Will they come when you call them? That's the nature of a goat. "Come here, goat. I got something for you. I got some food for you." Nah. Nah. Is that almost what they're saying? "Nah, not me." "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Goats don't need rest. They're having a big old time romping all over the field, right? Goats don't need rest. They're not laboring and heavy laden. They're having a big old time. And the shepherd keeps going. "If any man hunger and thirst after righteousness, come and I'll fill you up. Come and rest. If any man thirst, let him come. Come and come. I'll lead him beside the still waters. If any man's lost, come on. I'll restore your soul. Come on." But goats don't come, do they? Goats are satisfied where they are. They're satisfied with what they are. And they're satisfied with what they're eating. 10 cans is what they're drinking. The beer out of the cans. What they're eating, trash, garbage, dung. Isn't that what the world's feeding on? Garbage, vanity, lies. And the shepherd keeps going. He says, "If I wash thee not now, hey, goat, you're stinking. You smell in the high heaven. If I wash thee not, you have no part in me. You need a good bath. You're dirty, you're sinful, you're smelly, you're iniquitous. You're a foul-smelling savor of death to God Almighty. You need a bath. You need to be washed in the blood, goat." What does the goat say? "I don't smell that bad compared to other goats." As a matter of fact, the other goats might say, "Well, he smells pretty good." "You need a bath," he says. "All your righteousness are filthy rags." "Well, I like what I'm wearing. I like what I've done." "If you be not washed, you have no part in me, though. Come for cleansing." But goats don't come. Goats don't want washed. You see, goats don't believe anything that the shepherd says. Anything. Look at John 10, verse 26 with me. Christ said, "You believe not, but..." Hey, butter,
You believe not because why? You're not my sheep. Goats don't believe anything the shepherd tells them to. You believe not because you're not my sheep. You may look like it, but you're wolves in sheep's clothing. But here's the mark of a sheep. Sheep believe everything the shepherd tells them. Sheep trust and believe in everything he says. Goats don't believe anything. Sheep believe everything. He said, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. And the shepherd hollers out to the other field. He says, okay then, goats. Stay there. Feed on the husks around you. And then he goes over here to this field, his beloved, his sheep. One word will do it. One word. Sheep! And all over the world, in every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue under heaven, a sheep here, a sheep there, over hill, over dale, they will hit the dusty trail. They'll hear his voice, and their ears will crop up. They'll crop up, won't they? In God's good time, no matter how far away they are, that's the reason Christ said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Whatever sheep are out there, they'll hear my voice. Go! Go to Africa. I saw the gospel preacher go to Africa's sands and Greenland snow to give the gospel call. Go everywhere, and my sheep will hear my voice. We're on the trail of his sheep. If goats butt, let them butt. Sheep will hear. They'll hear. One word's all it takes. Sinner! And a sheep will raise his ears up and say, a Mary Magdalene will say, that's me. A publican standing afar off will say, that's me. A virgin will say, that's me. Is a shepherd calling me? That's me. And the shepherd says, I've got food. I've got my broken body for you. And the sheep says, I need it. I'm hungry. I've got something to drink here. My blood that was shed for you. I need it. I'm thirsty. Got something for you. I've got rest. Are you laboring and heavy laden? Oh, yes, I'm so tired. I need rest. Got some green pastures over here. Would you like to lie down? Sure would. Where are they? You need your soul restored? Sure do. I've lost. I've wandered. All we like sheep have gone astray. Shepherd says, I've got a robe of righteousness for you. Are you cold? Are you naked? I sure am. I need covering. Sure need these filthy rags removed. They're not much help. I need a perfect robe. Shepherd says, I've got shelter too. I got a cleft of a rock over here. Would you like to get in it? Storm's coming through. Would you like to get? Sure would. Would you lead me? Take me? Would you lead me to the rock that is higher than I? Sinner. And every one of the sheep say, Lord, Shepherd, I'm coming. I'm coming. Our text said, hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. That heareth me. Listen to this verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, that's the gospel. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple one. Because Christ is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Come on, stay with me. Everybody, stay with me. Because Christ is made unto us wisdom. I'm going to do a series of messages from Proverbs 8, beginning on Sunday morning.
And this is the prologue to that. Christ has made unto us wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All we need to know about God is in Christ. All we need to know about ourselves, we find out Christ told us. All we need to know about eternal life is found in Christ. Now listen to these verses of Scripture. I punched this word wisdom into my little computer. And it spit these out. Listen to this, how this relates to Christ. Just hundreds of them. And you substitute the word Christ for wisdom here. And this is what the righteous say. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. Remember Psalm 71? I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. My mouth is going to talk about Christ. How about you? A wise man does. A fool doesn't. A fool talks about the world. A fool talks about himself, doesn't he? A wise man speaks of wisdom. Christ, who is his wisdom? Listen to this. Behold, God desires truth in the inward parts. That's Christ in the heart. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Or Christ. Heart faith. My son, give me your heart. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, or that is the pursuit of, the study of Jesus Christ. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. In Christ hast thou made them all. John 1:3. Everything was made by him, and without him was nothing made which was made. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Christ. You've got to know and understand Christ is more than just a man. He's Lord. He's Lord. Listen to this. Turn over here with me. Proverbs chapter 2. I hadn't been long at all, folks. I've got 40 more minutes. I've got 10 more minutes. Proverbs chapter 2, look at this. Proverbs 2. I did look at the clock tonight, I promise you. Proverbs 2, let's read 6 through 12 here. The Lord giveth wisdom. In other words, God gave Christ, didn't it? A child is born, a son is given. God gave Christ out of his mouth, that is, out of his bosom, comes knowledge. Comes Christ, understanding. He lays up sound wisdom. He hung up Christ on the cross, right? For the righteous, for our righteousness. He's a buckler. He's strength. He's protection to them that walk uprightly, or that is walk by faith. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints, that is wisdom, Christ. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, that is when you see Christ our righteousness. And judgment and equity. That sounds like what Christ said about the weightier matters of the law, doesn't it? Every good path, right path. When wisdom, look at verse 10. When Christ enters into your heart and knowledge of him is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee to deliver you from the way of the evil. Listen to this. Well, you look over there. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth Christ. Proverbs 4. Wisdom. Christ is the principal thing. He's the principal one. Christ is the principal. What's the principal of school? He's in charge, isn't he? He's the headmaster. Christ is the headmaster. Listen to this. Wisdom. We read this. Christ's wisdom hath builded her house. If the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain to try to build it. Don't they? If the Lord builds his church, then we don't start a church. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Fools die for want. A man shall be, listen to this, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Did you hear that? A man shall be commended according to if he's in Christ, according to whether or not he has Christ or not. He'll be approved or accepted in the beloved, right? Wisdom's too high for a fool, though. Christ is too high for a fool. He goes after rubbish. Listen to this. This is sweet. My son, eat thou honey, because it's good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste, and so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto your soul. Whoso loveth wisdom, listen to this. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoices. Whoso loveth Christ honors Christ, honors the Father. One more. Wisdom is a defense. Whom shall I fear, or what shall I be afraid, the Scripture says. Christ is wisdom. Christ is wisdom. And wise men and women hear His voice and follow Him. Follow wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Sherry, would you come up here? I'm going to sing a song, please. 296. 296. I hope somebody got something out of that. 296. All the way, not half the way, all the way, my Savior leads me. All the way. And you got that silly little plaque on your wall, footsteps and footprints in the sand? Take it down. All the way. All the way my Savior leads me. Christ picks us up from the very beginning. He separates us from our mother's womb, calls us by His grace, picks us up on His good shoulders, His safe shoulders, and carries us all the way home. He doesn't set us down for a minute. He sets us down for a minute, we're lost, we're goner. All the way, from beginning to end, author and the finisher of my faith, my Savior leads me. Is He your Savior, your shepherd? Has He led you? All right, stand with me, let's sing this.
Let me all the way. It's my song.